You know what I can't stop thinking about?
What?
The fact that we used to joke about living through the apocalypse, and every day the apocalypse gets worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Are we really living?
I don't know. It's the apocalypse. I don't know if it counts.
Yeah. So that's fun.
That's fun. Well, this is Branch, the apocalypse of a podcast.
A podcast.
And we're zombies.
How's your week been?
My week has been, I would say, real good. I got some time off of work, and by that I mean, like, just, you know, 2 days. But that's great.
Good. Yeah, fun.
Love it.
When do you start your new job?
February 3rd.
Oh.
Yeah. Should be real good.
Yeah. Cool. I haven't done a lot.
I haven't really done a lot either.
I've done a lot of drag. Getting ready for my first show.
Woo!
So that'll be fun.
And it's coming along very well?
Yes.
Yay!
I hope.
And your numbers, your dancing, your choreography?
Well, let's put choreography in air quotes. I have selected my songs very carefully to not have to do a lot of that because I can't.
So that still counts as choreography. Mm-hmm. Like, planned limited movement is still choreography.
Okay. Yeah. But it's not like, I mean, I'm not going to do any splits or, you know, death drops.
Not right now. Not yet.
Never.
Never?
Never. That's not who I am. Yeah. No, it's going well. I changed up my songs a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I want to have, like, maximum camp.
Maximum camp is key. Speaking of camp, for Doug's birthday, I finally watched with them and others Scream.
That was the best birthday present you could have ever gotten me, honestly.
And I really liked it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't be able to say any other opinion.
That's true. That's true.
It would end our friendship.
It would end the podcast. But it was good. It was so ridiculously meta. I mean, every line.
Yeah.
Every line.
It was so meta. And that's my favorite, I think. And Scream 2 is even more meta.
Which I'm excited to watch.
And Scream 3 is bad.
This isn't this pot many. This isn't this minisode, but perhaps in the future we'll do like another revisiting of Scream.
Yeah.
And.
Yeah. But this time with us both having fully formed opinions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Speaking of camp.
Let's talk about camp.
Different version of camp. So my niece is engaged, right?
Yes.
She's getting married this summer.
Yes.
And I was talking to my mom today, and apparently her and her fiance's plan for their honeymoon is to go camping.
Mm-hmm.
No. Absolutely not.
Some people like camping.
Well, not for sex? For sex? For days of sex?
Yeah.
No.
Well, okay. Well,
absolutely not.
If you have access to a shower, it makes
it
better.
You need a shower, and you need air conditioning.
I think you need a
camping is
shower.
Cute. Camping is cute. And camping is fun.
Uh-huh.
This is not the right trip for that.
Well, how do you know that their honeymoon is going to be all about the sex?
Because I've had two of them.
Okay. But here's, as somebody who camps often, what you need is a shower and decent weather. If it's not too cold,
no.
And you have, and you're mildly
absolutely
clean.
Absolutely not. So camping is fine, but you don't trust me on this one.
Not a honeymoon deal?
Not a honeymoon deal. And they're trying to be, like, cost-effective or whatever, but no.
At what cost?
At
what cost? Well, at no cost, really.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's that. I'm going to talk to her about it.
This is the second time you've brought up her marriage. I think it might be time for you to talk to her about it.
Oh, well, we're not going to talk about that.
At least get her a good honeymoon. That's
what I'm saying. I'm gonna be like, trust your Uncle Douglas.
Trust your Uncle Douglas.
Yes. Or speaking, they just call me Dougie.
Dougie. Well, speaking Dougie of of being everybody's great queer cousin.
Uncle.
Better.
I ain't nobody's cousin. Actually, I have a lot of cousins.
Yes. Everybody's great queer uncle. Please tell us what we were talking about today.
You know, sometimes I'm their great queer auntie.
Auntie. Yes,
just depending.
Just depends on the
day. So today we're going to do another Queers in History minisode.
Woo!
And this is honestly going to be a lot of fun, I think. It's over this French diplomat who is also a spy and a soldier and a Freemason named, well, we're not going to go over their name because that's a lot, but they were called the Chevalier Dion.
Spy, soldier, Freemason.
And diplomat.
Diplomat.
I
want this on a t-shirt.
So here's the real gag. We're just going to call her the Chevalier.
Chevalier
is a transgender woman who lived the first half of her life as a man.
Okay.
And that's when she did all her spying. But what's going to be really fun is how she decided to transition in a way that society couldn't be mad at her.
Okay.
And it's very fun. Now, you're going to have to bear with me because the details are things I'm a little sketchy on as far as, like, life events.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm now that we're having this conversation, I'm a little worried that this isn't going to take a long time to talk about. She was, and we're just going to use her pronouns, even when we're talking about when she lived her life as a man. She was born in France. The article I read, so most of what we know about Dion's early life comes from her biography, and its reliability is questionable.
Oh, no.
which probably is fair. She was born to, like, a good family. She went to school, went to college. She worked as a secretary for the administrator of the fiscal department and as a royal censor for a while until 1756. And she would have been in her 20s. Again, living as a man.
Yes.
Which is why she was able to go to school.
Love it.
Yeah.
She really scammed the system.
She did. She joined the secret network of spies that was called Le Secret du Roi, which is, I think, the royal secret.
Is she our first queer spy that we've talked about in history?
Yes, but she doesn't have to be our last. I know of others.
You know of others? I love it. That just, it's like the most badass, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody we've talked about is super badass, but I just like the idea of a super secret gay.
Super secret. Queer spy.
Super secret spying queer.
But she, yeah, so it was basically like a group of spies that worked directly for King Louis the 15th. And so she was sent on mission to Russia in order to meet the Empress Elizabeth and intrigue with the pro-French faction against the Habsburg monarchy. And she... So she, while she was there, there were some claims. This is a little disputed here and there. She chose as her spy self to go undercover as a lady. a lady called Leah de Beaumont.
Love it.
And she became a maid of honor to the Empress. So
amazing.
Wonderful. Like, this is already kind of tiptoeing into, like, she is really wily about how she gets to present herself as a woman in a time when that wasn't allowed.
Yeah.
She's like, well, for spies.
Right.
For spies. I got a spy as a woman.
Exactly. It's the most.
Yeah.
It's
what else would I, what else would I do?
Right. Right.
And I feel like her fellow spies are like, okay.
I'm following.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, how are you going to do it?
Yeah,
like,
that's fine.
And she's just like, don't even worry about it. I got it.
So she did that for a while, and then she came back in 1761 to France, and then that's when she became a soldier. She became a captain of dragoons, which is not like dragons, apparently.
Darn it.
Yeah.
Dragoons.
She fought in the later stages of the Seven Years' War.
Okay.
And then she was wounded, received some medals and shit. And then she became a diplomat in 1763, sent to London. And when she was in London, then she became spy again.
She became spy again.
She became spy again. King Louis's like, while you're over there, can you spy for me?
Yeah. They said, we know that you're super good at this spine deal that you do and your very special way of spying. And she said, yeah, no problem. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah. So she collected for years and years. Well, like 4 years. Collected information that she sent back to the king. She formed connections with the English nobility. She had a vineyard.
Of course.
And that's how she formed those connections. She'd send them wine.
Love it.
And produce from her vineyards.
Love it.
And there came a point when she's about to lose her position as, it's called, I can't pronounce it, but as a diplomat. For whatever reason, I don't know if it, like, her term was up or what it was. I think there was another article that I was reading and it had some more information. But basically, she was about to get ready to lose her position as diplomat.
Okay.
And she complained and she's like, nope, don't want to do it. Want to stay here. And eventually she just decided to disobey orders entirely, and return to France.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh wait, no, I'm sorry. She decided to disobey orders and did not return to France.
Gotcha.
She stayed in London.
Gotcha.
And in her letter to the king, she claimed that the new ambassador had tried to drug her. And in an effort to save her station in London, she published most of her secret diplomatic correspondence about her recall. Anonymously. It's kind of like, this is my ace in the hole. I'm going to keep publishing these things.
Uh-huh.
Now, all of this is happening. 1766, finally, Louis the 15th granted her a pension for her services and gave her, like, oh, is this 12,000? No, just 12 acre.
Yeah.
And she continued to work as a spy, but she lived in political exile in London, could not go back to France. So, now where it gets fun. So in these years, she is just in the court. She's frankly, like, she does not like her life. She's living as a man. She's really bored.
Yeah.
She decides, look, something's got to change. Mm-hmm. And so she decides that it's time for her to live as a woman.
Yeah.
But this is how she does it. She starts a rumor.
Uh-huh.
That she is actually a woman.
Uh-huh.
Living as a man.
Okay.
And that she was actually born a woman.
Uh-huh.
And the rumor just spreads like wildfire through English nobility, through French nobility, so much so that the London Stock Exchange was running a betting pool on whether or not she was a man or a woman.
I love it.
And so that it's just wild. Like, that's wild to me. But she, like... She was just like, I know what I'll do.
It's just, it's so
clever. Did you
clever.
Hear that? I'm a woman.
Yes. It's so clever to be like, I'm going to start this rumor about myself and then let it spread through other people so that no matter what move she makes next,
and
it makes sense.
Like, I want to just really stress that the London Stock Exchange.
Yeah.
It is like the New York Stock Exchange.
Yes.
The London Stock Exchange had a betting pool on whether or not this person was a man or a woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's how wild, like, this fire spread. It was a wildfire.
It was a wildfire.
So in 1774, King Louis XV died.
Mm-hmm.
And she tried to negotiate her return from exile. And when she did, I believe that same year, no, 1777. She'd been... So this rumor kept going. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
This rumor kept going. And when she negotiated her return from exile, the French government was like, yes, but you need to stop dressing like a man and start dressing appropriately as a woman. And she said, okay.
I guess I have to.
Dang it, you caught me. I really loved dressing as a man.
Mm-hmm.
And the king even granted her funds for a new wardrobe. And so in 1777, she came back and lived as a woman for literally the rest of her life. People believed that she was actually assigned female at birth. They believed that she had, you know, an innie and not an outie, as it were.
They seemed like they weren't even that mad at her for being, for like masquerading as
a
man.
So here's the deal. Here's how she spun that. She didn't spin it. She let nobility spin it, which is this whole thing is she let people come to the conclusion she was kind of pushing them to.
Okay.
Is that she did that so she could serve her country. Oh. And she wasn't able to serve her country as a woman. It's very Mulan.
So she Mulan and then reverse Mulan the yeah. shit out yeah. of everybody. Yeah,
she was like, I just wanted to serve my country. I really just wanted to be and able I to am do a this.
Patriot, yes.
And so the only way I could do it is disguising myself as a man. And so when the French government came back, I'm like, yeah, you can come back, but they're like, that's fine, but now you need to dress as a woman again.
And you need to be, like, appropriate. They literally very quickly went, oh, you're a woman, I really need to start telling you what to do with your body.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. The king gave her money, though, for a new wardrobe, which yeah. I'm about. and so this went on until she died in 1810, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, in 1810. And when they were doing the burial preparations, that's when they found out that she was actually born assigned male at birth.
But that, yeah. I feel like at that point, everybody would just be so confused.
Yeah.
They would be like, basically, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. And so that is the story of the Chevalier Dion.
I like it.
So I knew it was going to be really short, but to me, like, the idea that this lady was like, I know how I'm going to live my truth.
Yes.
I'm going to start a rumor about myself. And, yep. like, she just played all of English and French nobility on themselves.
Until they were like, yeah, really what you're doing is so weird. Please be a woman.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, knowing how nobility works, like, knowing that basically, like, the king's court and the queen's court is just, like, one big gossip chamber.
Right.
Like, it wouldn't take long to get that rumor started. Mm-hmm. I just think it's incredible.
Well, and especially, like, okay, so living the life that she did and being a spy, where, like, your whole job is to play on the insecurities and, like, the gossip mill of other people, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's what she does. She's mm-hmm. got ears to the ground, that she listens. So you're gonna figure out very quickly how to talk to people in a certain way to get the thing that you want.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that she did it and she was just, like, real quick, things are not going the way that I want them to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to start using this yeah. to my advantage.
Well, and to me, like, and I mean, this is apocryphal, but to me, like, it started whenever she went to Russia and, like, realized that she could use her persuasion to convince people that she should be dressing as a woman.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it was like she was definitely planning her craft from moment one. Because she knew she was a woman this whole time. And then she was like, okay, I'm going to get good at this. And then people are going to see me be really good at this. That later, when she starts these rumors, that becomes evidence in her favor that mm-hmm. truly she is a woman this whole time. And of course she is. And they were like, yes, here's money for a new wardrobe.
Yeah. Well, and it's just always really interesting to me to see the story of transgender people from, like, the 1700s and 1800s. But, like, you remember, like, a while ago, we did one on James Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just very interesting because they literally have to pick the battle that they want for this. And
right.
for James Allen, it was very much, it was just like, this is what I'm doing, bitches.
Yep.
Deal with it. Then he died. but for her, it really was like, I don't have to go through all that. I can get them on my side and then force me to do the thing that I want to do.
Right, but I feel like the difference between the two is, like, that life experience. Mm-hmm. Like, being so heavily involved in politics and espionage and being a diplomat mm-hmm. and being so good with your words and how to convince people of certain things, that really played in her favor,
mm-hmm.
whereas, like, other people in history might not necessarily have had that. Still clever as shit how mm-hmm. they went about it.
Oh, yeah, but it was, yeah, definitely two different life experiences.
Yes.
Also, Netflix, I'm waiting for the original series on the Chevalier Dion.
Yeah, like, I really would like to be.
Where is it? Where is it?
And how would you, okay, how would you, like, frame this show? What would be your framing device for this?
Well, I think that it would have to be very evident early on that Chevalier Dion wanted to live as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, like, as a kid or something, like, caught trying on dresses. I don't know. But then it would, like, I could even see it being, like, a limited series. Like,
yeah.
The first half of it is her like spy career and stuff like that. And the second half is her like, you know, manipulating the system for her to for like her to, yeah. live as a woman.
I think I would want, like, if I were to do it as like a drama, I wouldn't even do that. Or like I would, but I wouldn't place her so close to the center. I would actually have it play out pretty much exactly how it did, and just kind of like have her be herself most of the time,
mm-hmm.
and like all like follow her through her like espionage career and doing all of these different things and starting in Russia as a woman, and then introducing the rumor halfway through and sort of very like ending on that note of, oh yeah, she was a woman this entire time.
Yeah, interesting.
And she played everybody for a fool, and she could do it all, basically.
Yeah, love it. I love it.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, it could be a musical.
It could be a musical.
Yeah.
And Cher would be in it.
No, Meryl Streep.
Both.
Cheryl Streep.
Cheryl Streep, that's what we want.
Welcome to the stage, Cheryl Streep.
Cheryl Streep. Were they both in that last Mamma Mia movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like Mamma Mia.
Why not?
Because I don't like ABBA.
Why not?
Because ABBA sucks.
ABBA's good.
No.
We've talked about this.
You're just brainwashed. You're brainwashed into what society wants you to believe, and they want you to believe that ABBA is good and that Mamma Mia is a good musical.
No, society does not want you to believe that ABBA
is
good.
They absolutely
do. They won Eurovision, which nobody ever likes anybody who's in Eurovision, and they were liked in spite of that.
Because society wants you to like ABBA. Your parents told you ABBA was good. Every one of our parents told us ABBA was good, and they all lied to us.
No, I listened to Dancing Queen and thought, yes.
It's just not good.
It's so silly and fun.
Mm. 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 It's fine.
It's fine. Okay, well, you know what? We agree to disagree on this one topic, but we both agree.
If we were going to do a Mamma Mia-esque musical about the Chevalier Dion, what band would we pick?
Well, apparently not ABBA.
Of course not ABBA.
For
one, there's already a musical out there.
Chevalier. With both Cher and Meryl Streep.
Mm-hmm.
Chevalier Dion. Can we pick Miley Cyrus?
Yes.
Okay.
500%. It can be Miley Cyrus's song.
That's not a band, but just anything that Miley Cyrus has ever done.
I want to go all the way back to the Hannah Montana days. Like, the best of both worlds. Oh!
That would do it. But, like, okay, this current version of Miley Cyrus, first of all, knocks my socks off. Two, would be pretty appropriate and very badass for somebody who's a spy.
Can we talk about how amazing her mullet is?
It's the best.
It's so good.
Like, have we talked about, I think I've tweeted about it, but you guys, like mullets are coming back.
They are, and, okay, so I told Chris not to get one, my roommate.
Yeah.
And I stand by that.
Yes.
Because I think that the only way mullets will work is if you have even a small bit of femininity in you.
You think?
Yeah, and yeah. Chris is the mannest man to ever man.
He is pretty man. He is pretty man.
It's fine. It's good.
Yeah.
But I think that if you don't, you just look like a redneck.
Well, that's the problem, is because it is sort of, it's being taken back by the theys and the gays, mm-hmm. and mostly the lesbian himbos, which I love.
I'm going to be honest, I just don't trust a straight man to actually do the mullet correctly.
Like, yeah.
It's going to look very old school redneck mullet.
Yeah.
It's not going to look wiry. It's not going to look like stylish fashion mullet.
Yes. Well, I think that men, like men who are like straight men, like, you know.
Yeah, cishet men.
Yes. They have an issue when they have long hair.
If they don't take care of it.
They don't have if they don't have any kind of like femininity, they're like, I want to have long hair. And you could look really good if you had long hair.
But honestly, a few simple steps.
Which is condition, mm-hmm. brush it, whatever you are doing to it now, stop.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so thin and so oily.
Honestly, yeah. Don't wash your hair every day.
Don't get it wet every day.
That's going to thin it out. And it's going to make your scalp oily. So wash your hair once a week. Condition when you do.
Yep.
Blow dry your hair.
Yep.
When you have long hair, it's quicker anyway. And, rinse your conditioner out with cold hair or cold water. It's actually just when you're in the shower and you do get your hair wet, put some cold water when you're done. It's going to lock in the natural wave.
There you go. And, like, just keeping that moisture in there. And the other thing, too, is if you put it up, because everybody knows, like, you know, the man bun thing that was happening?
Oh, I had a man bun.
Learn, I don't know if you knew how to do it, but learn how to put your fucking hair up in a way that doesn't rip it out. Jesus Christ, I've seen men just, like, crunch the shit out of their hair.
Yeah.
And just tear chunks of it
out.
Yeah,
it's not the way it goes. No, I didn't do that. My hair was down to, like, the middle of my back.
Damn.
Yeah, it was really long. So it was more of, like, a really messy bun when I put it up.
Yeah.
But, it looked good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm assuming that you knew how to take care of your hair.
I did. Even when I was living as a straight man, I took care of my hair.
That's good. That's good. Anyway, Chevalier also knew how to take care of her hair.
We assume.
We assume.
I bet she had some powdered wigs, though.
I'm sure she did. Yeah. I'm sure she had it all.
Oh, she had it all.
Yeah.
She had the best of both worlds.
She seemed to have the best of both worlds. Mm-hmm. She was the Hannah Montana of...
She was definitely the Hannah Montana of transgender French spies.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she still is.
She still is, to this day.
As far as we know.
There's not been a Hannah Montana-ier transgender French spy that right. We know of.
Netflix. Come at us with our deal.
Yeah. We,
I can write this by tomorrow. I can have 6 episodes done.
Literally. Can we give her a love interest?
She should have many.
Yeah. Oh, she should just be a player.
I want her. I'm going to make her polyamorous if we go about this.
Pansexual.
Because how do you think she got all of that information with her wine on her vineyard that she sent out to people? Yeah. Right. She wasn't sleeping with any of those people. Definitely not.
I want someone that's very androgynous too. Like if young David Bowie were here.
That hi, it's me.
But probably also a trans.
Yes.
Actress. So if young David Bowie was actually a trans actress.
Yes.
That's who I want.
Okay.
Netflix, find that person.
Find that person and then hire us to write the show. We'll have it done.
We already have it done. We wrote it during this minisode.
We did. We wrote it. We just need like one historian, like give us some facts. And
yeah, and that's it.
And that's it.
Anyways, I think that's probably everything.
I think that is everything.
Yep.
Netflix, call us.
Yeah, call us.
Okay, bye.